This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is fun. For those of you who are worshiping with us for the first time, we have shifted to a summer schedule that we will keep through June and July with one service at 10 o'clock. But starting back up in August and through the rest of the year, we usually have two services, 8:45 and 11. And so I'm used to seeing certain people over here at 8:45 and over there at 11, and now you're just all jumbled up, and it's beautiful. And that's part of our hope for this summer, is that we'll get a little jumbled up, that we'll have opportunities to meet some new people, to get to know some others better, and to have some opportunities for fellowship. We will have lots happening in the service today. We're celebrating two baptisms and some special things, welcoming a new member at the end of the service and some other special things. And we don't have to rush off to get to Sunday school, and we can still go a little long and beat the Baptist to the bonanza. So it's all good. It's fun. And I'm just delighted to see all of you here today. And I've had a chance to meet some folks who are worshiping with us for the very first time. And we're so glad that you're here. I want to invite you to take a moment to register your attendance. If you're here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the center aisle, end of each row. If you'll pass those down and back again to let us know that you're here. And if you're worshiping online, there's a link you can place in your browser that will take you right to that spot. There's also a QR code in the bulletin. If you scan that, you can go to the place to register attendance, to share any prayer concerns, to make an offering for the day. So that can all be done digitally as well. I would encourage you, for those who are church members, have a permanent name tag to keep those in a handy place this summer and make an effort to wear those name tags. We also have some name tags out by the donuts for everybody who's here this morning, so we would love for you to learn one another's names and get to know each other better. Next Sunday will be a big Sunday with lots happening in the life of the church. We will begin our combined adult Sunday school class. It will start at 9 o'clock. Next Sunday, it will meet up in the fourth story theater because after the 10 o'clock worship service, we're going to have a potluck lunch at 11 down in McWhorter Hall. And there's information about that in the bulletin. You can sign up. Just let us know what dish you're bringing if you're able to bring a dish. If you're not, please come anyway. There'll be plenty of food, no doubt. Then after next Sunday, that Sunday school class will meet in McWhorter Hall. The acolyte training that was postponed from a couple of weeks ago will take place next Sunday at noon. So you'll have time to eat at the potluck and then come up for acolyte training. Lots of other announcements in the bulletin. Many, many things to gather around this morning as a community of faith as we worship God. This is Trinity Sunday, a day when we celebrate God as three in one. God who invites us into loving community with God's self. So let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship.
Thank you. the call to worship is found in your bulletin. Triune God, today you invite us into the dance of your eternal embrace. Come with your peace, with your invitation. Bind us together in holy love. You gather us from near and far to rejoice with all creation at the wonders of your restoring grace. You inspire us to worship and find our voices in the song of all the saints who are lost in wonder, awe, and praise of the depths of your love.
Come with your peace, with your invitation, bind us together in love.
Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of children of God. God of everlasting love, we acknowledge our fear of mystery. We name how our demand for convenience and certainty has disrupted our willingness to keep searching, questioning, and experiencing your patient way of love. We confess our need to conform and control when we cannot fully understand holy matters, especially with regard to your children and image bearers. Forgive us, we pray, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Draw us into the reality of your merciful embrace of all creation. And now, O God, we offer to you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you. Is the baptism of children. This morning, Sarah and Will Rowland bring their child, and Jonathan and Stacy Harwell Dye bring their child before God and before the community of faith for baptism.
My family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Sarah and Will, Jonathan and Stacy, you bring these, your children, forward for baptism today. And I ask you now these ancient questions of the faith. On behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say we do.
We do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say we do.
We do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people? If so, say we do.
We do.
And will you nurture these children in Christ's holy church that by your teaching and example, they may be guided to accept God's grace for themselves, to profess their faiths openly, and to lead Christian lives, if so say we will.
We will.
Sarah, you are also joining the church today, transferring your membership from Germantown United Methodist Church in Memphis, and so this question is for you. As a member of the body of Christ in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place and among these people through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will. My friends in the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say, we do.
We do.
And will you nurture one another in Christ's holy church and in the Christian faith and life, and include these friends now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in service with others. We will pray for them to be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life.
Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations.
Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and these children who receive it, to wash away sin and clothe them in righteousness throughout their lives, that dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever.
Amen.
We start with Maggie. Hi, Maggie.
I'm going to work some magic on you. Hi, sweet girl.
What name have you given your beautiful daughter?
Anna Margaret Williams.
Anna Margaret, I baptize you in the name of God, the Father who created you, Christ who redeems you, and the Holy Spirit who will live within you and be your friend and advocate all the days of your life. Amen. All right, Miss Maggie, we're going to walk over closer to Mommy and Daddy. Invite everybody to lay a hand on you as all of us pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life. Maggie, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Amen. Okay, I'll give you back to Mommy or Daddy for just a minute. And now we're going to go see, can I hold you, Abel? Come see me. Yeah, there you go. And what name have you given your child? Abel Camden Joseph, I baptize you in the name of God, the Father who created you, Christ the Son who redeems you, and the Holy Spirit who will live and work within you, be your advocate and friend all the days of your life. Amen. All right, Abel, let's pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life. Everybody come and lay a hand on him. Abel, may the Holy Spirit work within you that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Amen. Okay, that's enough of me, right? Let's go see Pastor Amy. We're going to go take a little walk. Maggie, you want to walk with me? Let's get a little closer look at your church family. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, here we go. Oh, I know. Look at this. Wow, look at, oh. You guys, are you not smiling back today? Maggie and Abel, this is your church family. They are smiling so big at you. because they already love you so much. And they're going to do everything they can to teach you how much God loves you and to help you find ways in your own unique way to share God's love with the world. So let's listen as they make their promises to you.
Will the congregation please stand, open your bulletins to the commendation and welcome, and face Maggie and Abel. Now it is our joy to welcome our new siblings in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Sarah, Maggie, and Abel to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given Sarah, Maggie, and Abel. And we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you, the body of Christ, and with you, the vision of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant, participate faithfully in the ministries of the church through our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination found in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." And Jesus answered him, saying, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who's born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, you speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. For I've told you about earthly things, and you do not believe. How can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Any children who want to come down and join me up here, please do. And if you're worshiping from home, please, or from somewhere out of town, just get a little closer to your screens. And we'll have a minute together. Hey, Abel. Good morning, good morning. Glad to see everybody. School's out. Yay. It's summertime. Yay. Does that make you happy for school to be out? Yeah, we do miss our friends, I guess. Yeah.
I got a new car yesterday.
Ooh, that's exciting. Great way to start the summer. Well, welcome, everybody. I don't know about you, but I have a lot of questions about a lot of things. But I have a lot of questions about God and about faith and what it's all about. Like, one of my questions is, why did God create mosquitoes?
Yes.
I mean, really? Really, right? Why did Jesus pick 12 disciples? I wonder, what is heaven like? I have all sorts of questions. And I've been to school for a long time to study lots of things, but I still have lots of questions. There's a story that Mr. Ed just read about a man named Nicodemus. Can you say that? Nicodemus. Nicodemus, yeah. He was very smart. He was a Pharisee. That's kind of a special word. But he had spent his life studying the Bible. He was a teacher of people, taught people about God. But he still had a lot of questions. And so one night he went to talk to Jesus, and he took some of his questions to Jesus. And you know what? Jesus listened and responded and talked with Nicodemus. He didn't say, "Nicodemus, why do you have so many questions?" No, he talked with him. And that just reminds me that that's how God is with us. Our questions are important to God. We may not always get answers, but it's okay to ask any question you have about God. Your questions are welcome. And just as Jesus welcomed Nicodemus and loved him and invited him to follow him, that's what God does for us too, even with all our questions. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you that you are love, that the Bible teaches us that you're love, that the church teaches us you are love, that we experience through all of this church family that you are love. We have lots of questions, so many things we'd love to know the answers to, but even if those questions don't always get answered, thank you for welcoming them, and thank you for giving us a loving place to ask them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds can go with Pastor Maggie to Children's Church, and if you're older than that, you can go back and sit with parents or friends, or if you're younger than that. It usually happens sometime in the fall. I start looking for an email from Pastor Maggie, pastor of children and families. She sends an email out to all of us on the pastoral staff asking who wants to teach which lesson of confirmation. If you know Maggie, she's very organized, very on top of things, and she has the schedule all planned out. You pick the date that might work for you and whatever topic you're interested in teaching on. So the topics are things like God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the church, the Bible, the history of Methodism, serving, all sorts of really interesting topics. And so I don't know about you, but I kind of scramble to get ahead of some of these others. So I guess Stacy's like, same. I do it. It's like, oh, because I have some of my favorite topics. I, of course, love talking about Jesus. I love teaching about the Bible and introducing the confirmands to the Wesleyan Quadrilateral. If you don't know what that is, go home and Google it. It's one of the wonderful tools we have as United Methodists to interpret Scripture. But I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that most of us aren't scrambling to teach the class on Trinity. I could be wrong. Now, it's not because the Trinity is not a deeply important foundational doctrine of the church. A meaningful, life-giving understanding of the nature of God, it's just hard to talk about. It's hard to put into words. It's hard to teach adults or confirmands or children about the Trinity. Even my professor of Christian theology, who had been teaching for decades at Candler School of Theology, when it came to the Trinity, he jokingly said, "Well, you know, God is one, God is three, God is one. Okay, we're going to move on." Now, we talked more about it, but he was acknowledging that there's so much about Trinity that is mystery, that is hard for us to wrap our human brains around, that exceeds the limits of our intellect and our ability to understand and articulate. Nevertheless, this is Trinity Sunday. This is the Sunday when the Christian church across the globe celebrates, remembers, and worships God as Trinity. So how do we begin to put this notion of God as Trinity into words, and how does it nourish our faith, our walk with God? Well, I want to invite you to keep handy the cover of your bulletin. I want to thank Will McLean, who either allowed me or didn't forbid me from borrowing this image. It's more vivid and bigger and framed hanging in his office. So it's worth stopping by just to see it in more vivid size and color. But this is a contemporary icon. Now, an icon is an image that's meant to be a window into prayer, to invite us into contemplation. And this is an icon of the Trinity. So just keep this handy as we share this moment together. There are many across the centuries who have tried to put into words and imagery the nature of God as Trinity. Of course, the most ancient language that comes to us right out of the scriptures is God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit because that is what Jesus told us to do. We hear those persons of the Trinity present in today's scripture reading. Jesus is talking with Nicodemus about the Spirit and how the Spirit is like the wind blowing and moving where it chooses. You don't know where it's coming from or where it's going. Jesus says to Nicodemus, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. So we have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all in these few verses. Our understanding of the Trinity is that these three persons of the Trinity have been sharing a communion of love beyond time. God has always existed in this way. It's not like the Spirit just showed up on Pentecost Sunday. The Spirit of God, if you remember in the creation story, was brooding over the waters before the earth was created. So we have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In more recent years, we've also begun to speak of the Trinity in terms of what each person of the Trinity does. There is Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. My personal favorite is St. Augustine's description of the Lover, the Beloved, and the love that flows between them. What I have found most life-giving for me is thinking of God at God's very core as relationship. God is community in God's very self. And so we see in this image, this icon on the bulletin cover, God's pouring out of love and receiving of love and sharing of mutual love in God's very self. There's no hierarchy, there's no favoritism. It's a circle of mutual love, a dance of mutual love. And that we, as God's creatures, are invited into the dance. We're invited to that table. But it's more than we can wrap our brains around. With all of these words, all of these images, all of these descriptions, it's still beyond our ability to grasp it with just our minds. If you struggle to understand the Trinity, then you might feel a little bit like Nicodemus felt on that night when he sat down with Jesus with all of his questions. If you don't know Nicodemus, he was a high-ranking, highly educated Pharisee. He sat on the high council of the Jewish people. He was a teacher of the law. He knew his scriptures backwards and forwards. He was a faithful man. And yet, it seems perhaps there was something more, that he knew there was something more. Perhaps he lived most of his life in his head, in his mind, and there was something about Jesus that was tugging at his heart. And so he goes in the middle of the night to get closer to Jesus. And he engages with Jesus in this conversation, and he leaves more confused than he was when he came, I think. You know, Jesus is saying all of these things to Nicodemus, and Nicodemus seems to be understanding in a very different way. And the last thing we hear Nicodemus say in these verses is, "How can these things be?" And then he just fades back into the darkness, into that not knowing, into that confusion. Perhaps what he doesn't quite hear in Jesus' words is Jesus' invitation to move beyond the brain and the head and to move into the heart. Jesus says to Nicodemus, unless you are born again, unless you're born of the Spirit, you'll never grasp the fullness of the kingdom of God. Perhaps Jesus is saying, unless you let go of your certainty, unless you begin to understand that believing in God is not about a set of precepts that you sign on a piece of paper, but a deep trust, you won't quite get it. You won't experience the fullness of that relationship. When Jesus says, God sent the Son into the world so that whoever believes in him might have life, I don't think he's talking about believing just with your mind and just reciting a creed or saying, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I think he's talking about betting your life on Jesus. I've heard the illustration made of what belief is. You've probably heard this too. Imagine there's a person holding on to the rocks of a cliff about to fall off, and someone throws them a rope and says, do you believe that I will pull you up with this rope? And the person says, yeah, I believe you would do that. Okay, then let go and grab on. There's a difference between thinking we believe something and saying we believe something and betting our lives on it. And I think Jesus is inviting Nicodemus to let go and grab on to a deeper life with God where there are not always easy answers and there's lots of uncertainty. There's something about Nicodemus's story that, this won't surprise you, reminds me of John Wesley. Always love talking about John Wesley. If you know the story of the founder of our Methodist movement, John Wesley was born into the Anglican Church. His father was a clergyman. His mother was a very faithful woman who taught them well, very strict, by the way. He grew up in the faith. He was a faithful Christian. He went to Oxford University, studied theology, was ordained into the priesthood. While he was at Oxford, he and his brother Charles formed a little holy club where they studied the scriptures, they prayed, they collected their money, they gave to the poor, they visited the prisons, they were walking the walk and talking the talk. He went to the American colonies in ministry. It was a colossal failure, and he came back to England kind of broken. And feeling like he didn't have enough faith, something was missing in his life. And then on May 24th, 2 days ago is the anniversary, 1738, he went to a chapel service at Aldersgate. And later that night, he wrote this in his journal. In the evening, I went very unwillingly to a society in Aldersgate Street where one was reading Luther's preface to the Epistle to the Romans. About a quarter before nine, while he was describing the change which God works in the heart through faith in Christ, I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ. Trust in Christ, Christ alone for salvation, and an assurance was given me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death. It's as if John Wesley knew these things in his head. He taught these things, he preached these things, but in that moment, his spirit was given new birth. It went deeper, and he knew it in a way beyond the knowing up here. And one of the things I love about John Wesley is that that wasn't just a momentary conversion and that was it. He wrote in his journal not much later, I have no faith. You know, he experienced the ups and downs of the journey with God. And it's just a reminder that to be born again is, for many of us, not just a one-time thing, but we are born again and again and again. Our spirits are refreshed over and over again. What we believe in our heads is taken down to our hearts again and again and again. And that is the work of the Trinity in our lives. And so we look at this image on our bulletin. We see this communion of love, this dance of love that is God, which we cannot fully understand, but into which we are invited nevertheless. So imagine your name written in that circle. You can write it there if you want to. That you're part of the family that is the Trinity. That you are invited not just to believe with your mouths or believe on paper, but to put your whole trust in His grace, to bet your life on this God. I think Nicodemus eventually got there. He shows up at the end of John's gospel. He and Joseph of Arimathea ask Pontius Pilate for Jesus' body so that they can give him a proper burial. It was a dangerous thing for him to do. And it was a privilege reserved for family. So it seems in the end, Nicodemus bet his life on Jesus and became part of the family. Thanks be to God.
In the creed that you'll find in your bulletin. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to our time of prayer, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayer requests. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral team to pray for throughout the week, you can follow the link under Contact Us if you're on our website. Or if you're here with us in the sanctuary, there's gray cards in the pew racks in front of you that you can fill out. Please take note of the prayer requests that are listed in your bulletin and keep their names and situations in your heart throughout the week. Praying for the realization of God's presence for each person involved. Today, as a church family, we celebrate the birth of Sammy McLester Swore, who was born on May 19th to Lauren Listurgeon and Richard Swore. He's also welcomed by his grandparents, Sammy and Sally Swore, and Wallace and Carol Listurgeon. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, we come before you with gratitude and praise. You are the one who brings order and renewal to our lives. You redeem and restore us. And you remind us of our belovedness as children of God and the power of your Spirit in baptism. Holy Trinity, empower us to enter into partnership with you for the flourishing of all creation with gratitude and joy. Bind us together in your holy love. And on this weekend, when we are asked to remember as a nation, help us to be mindful of those whose lives were lost in battle and for those who live with the pain of their loss. For those impacted by war and those who live with its lingering agony, devastation, and grief, be known to them through your comfort and your peace. Turn our swords into plowshares, our spears into pruning hooks. May our nations not lift up our swords against other nations. and may we not learn war anymore. May we, O God, be remembered as a people whose feet are the bearers of the good news of Jesus Christ, whose very presence breaks the yoke of oppression and sets the captives free. For it is in him that we join our hearts and our voices as we pray the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now gather our gifts together and offer them to God as in gratitude and praise. Those of you who are joining us online are invited to give via the options that are listed on the screen. While if you're here in the sanctuary, we'll pass around the offering plates down the aisles, or you can use the QR code that's printed in the bulletin. May we give with joy to the God who has been so generous to us.
Thank you.
In addition to opening and expanding the community of faith through baptism, we also open and expand our community through members joining us. And today we invite Paul Pacelli to come and join us today. Paul has been a staple in Nashville for some time, but is new to West End. And we are so glad that Paul is here with us. Paul enjoys gardening and collecting cars. So if you're a car collector, come talk to Paul. Paul, we do have a few questions for you as you come into membership and into the life of this congregation. As a member of the body of Christ in this congregation, called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will.
I will.
Wonderful. And to those of us gathered here, I invite you to please rise in body or in spirit and join me in welcoming our newest member with words found in your bulletin. Family of God, Paul is now entrusted to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hopes, and to perfect him in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Paul. And we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation. Of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, and in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Welcome, Paul. Thank you. So happy to have you. And at the end of the service, I would invite you to come to Reed Hall afterwards. There are still a few more donuts left. But I invite you to come and introduce yourself to Paul and to Sarah both as they have come into the life of our church. And let's celebrate together and get cake. I've been told there's cake too. There's cake too. And now may the God of all grace strengthen you by the connecting and transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may be the loving light of Christ in the world. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
I invite you all to be seated once more. I'm sorry, it's a little bit of up, down, up, down. But we have two of our beloved staff members who are entering an exciting season. And I wanted to take just a moment to pray for each of them in very different moments that they are in. First of all, our own Shannon Baxter will be ordained as a deacon in the United Methodist Church. June 3rd. So they will be traveling to the South Georgia Conference for that next Sunday. So this is his our last opportunity to bless him before that happens. And then, of course, he'll be back with us this summer. Our own beloved Reverend Stacy Harwell Dye is about to begin a three-month renewal leave. So this is her last Sunday in our midst for 3 months. And it's all going to be fine. We're not panicking. It's all good. But this is such a gift that the Staff Parish Committee has given to Stacy and to many of us on staff to pull away and rest as Jesus modeled so beautifully for us. So we want to take a few minutes to pray for each of them. Our Staff Parish Chair Elizabeth has a special gift for Shannon, which is...
stole for Shannon, and Shannon, as a token of our appreciation for your service here and celebration of your ordination, it's my pleasure to give that to you on behalf of Staff Parish.
Thank you so much.
Yes, the blue stoles, which we use during Advent, are a little more special, so we wanted to make sure you had a blue stole for West End in the season of Advent, and we look forward to seeing that on you in December. So I would invite you both to kneel where you are. And if anybody wants to come forward, we got some family here, of Stacy, others who want to just, from Staff Parish, who might want to lay hands on them, we invite you to come forward and do that for just a minute. Yeah, and Shannon, too. And I'll stand in the middle.
Can we do it together?
Oh, do it together. There we go. Sorry, it's both and.
I want to pray for
Shannon. That's right. Come on down. Oh, this is beautiful. I love this. Let us pray together. God, we are so deeply grateful for the companions you give us to share in the journey of faith. We thank you for this congregation, that we can walk alongside one another with our eyes on you, ever growing in love with you, with each other, with ourselves, with our neighbors. We thank you today especially for these two companions on the journey, for Stacy and for Shannon. And as they come to different moments on each of their journeys, we have the gift and privilege of standing with them and asking your blessing upon them. We thank you for Shannon and his faithfulness and dedication, for his response to your call on his life to serve the church and serve the world through ordination. And after the years of study and preparation and examination, we now celebrate with him this final step of ordination. Our hearts will be celebrating with him and his family and the church on June 3rd. May he feel your blessing. And oh God, in this moment, we pray for Stacy and all that she does to keep us faithful to your call to service and justice and mercy in your world, for her energy and faithfulness and leadership. We give you thanks. And we thank you that she now has an opportunity to enter into a season of rest. May she feel at peace, trusting that all shall be well, that we will continue to be vigorous in our service and works of justice and mercy as a congregation. May she be restored and renewed and reborn by the rest that you give her. And God, we pray for all of us that we would feel your calling and find ways to rest in our own journeys of faith. For all of these things, we give you thanks. O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, Lover, Beloved, and Beloved. Amen.
Thank you.
during this time of worship, we have experienced the inpouring and outpouring of love within the very spirit and nature of God. May we, having received that love, go forth into the world that God loves so much to continue pouring it out to the world. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, go in peace. Amen.